Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
Today we're discussing civic duty, car prices rising, and student loan relief.
Right, Joel, this is our Friday Flight episode where every Friday we talk about some headlines that caught our eye. We talk about how those news stories affect our personal finances. But first, man, we wanted to talk about another podcast that you and I are both fans of. You and I, we both listen to How I Built This, which is another How podcast. Maybe it's only natural that we're fans of it. But yeah, it's a great podcast about entrepreneurship hosted by Guy Raz. And recently they had the founder of Rad Power Bikes on there. It's one that stood out to us specifically because you have owned a bike by Rad Power Bikes.
Since 2017, baby.
And you're waiting on your new one, the fourth edition Rad Wagon.
Should be coming at the end of the month.
Is it?
I'm very excited.
Oh, yeah, well, I hope it shows up on time with all these delays that we've seen in production.
I can't wait to throw my now one-year-old on the back and start spinning around town again. I miss having one,
so
man.
So freaking fun.
Yeah.
Did you like that episode?
I love the episode. First off, yeah, How I Built This is basically a classic podcast at this point. But yeah, I don't listen to every episode, but the ones that catch my eye, I love to listen to. And I just appreciated hearing how that company was built, in particular because I have an affinity for their bikes. And so, yeah, it was a great episode. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. But if anybody is interested in hearing how just like basically the biggest direct-to-consumer e-bike company, how it was built, check out that episode for sure.
And for me, man, there are two things about that episode that stood out to me. One was that the founder's name was Mike Radenbaugh. His name is where the company came from.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that either. I thought it was just like Rad Bikes, like because they're cool.
They're, you know, so
like,
cool. They're rad.
Super rad.
Yeah. I thought he was like a surfer dude or something and decided to name it Rad Power Bikes.
No, but it's because the first three letters of his last name is Rad. And so Radenbaugh, he shortened it to Rad Power Bikes back when he was even in high school when he first started converting mountain bikes to e-bikes. I thought that was super cool. And then another thing, man, like the reason that we are so drawn to electric bikes is because when it comes to us being less reliant on automobiles, on vehicles, we've talked about how electric bikes are the answer, because with electric bikes, you can get where you need to go way faster and you can get there without completely sweating through your clothes. And so I think a lot of times for a lot of individuals, that's part of the concern. Like that's the problem. They're like, well, how am I going to get to where I need to go? Well, e-bikes, man, like that is the answer.
They're more accessible for a lot of people. And then Rad in particular has brought down the price to such a level that they're more accessible price-wise for so many folks. And one of the things they mentioned in the episode is that electric bikes, for people who have medical or health problems, it allows them the ability to exercise, whereas a traditional bike is a lot more work. And so a lot of people just aren't going to be able to enjoy riding a bike unless it's an e-bike. So I think Rad Power Bikes is great for so many reasons. And really, anything that gets people on two wheels, I'm a fan of. So yeah, that was a fun episode to see hit my podcatcher the other day.
Yeah, and so speaking of e-bikes and alternatives to traditional transportation, let's talk about our stories. And one of them is the fact that used car prices are up, man. If you have a spare car sitting around, you'll likely be able to get more money for it now than you could have 6 months ago. So if you listen to our recent episode called No Car, No Problem, that was episode 242, you know that there are all sorts of ways to get around that might be able to save you money.
E-bikes included.
Exactly, man. And so with used car prices skyrocketing, now could be the perfect time to downsize your automobile fleet and put some of that cash in your bank account.
Yeah, normally used cars depreciate. It's like almost like a law like gravity that used cars do not go up in price until they hit like 40 years old, and then I guess they start to appreciate.
They're classics.
Yeah, then they're classics. But for the most part, used cars depreciate. It's a law of nature. But we're in an odd cycle right now because of the pandemic, and because there was a 2-month production shutdown of new vehicles, basically by all the major manufacturers, and it's led to all car prices heading upwards for the time being. So yeah, take advantage of maybe some of the topsy-turvy effects that COVID has created by ditching your car. Maybe if it's a car you rarely use, or you're working from home and you're like, I don't know if I'm ever going to drive it again, and get more money for it than you typically would be able to. We're all about ditching that extra vehicle in order to save more money, and now's a great time to make that happen.
Yeah, and let's hold ourselves accountable a little bit, Joel. I'm pushing really hard. You guys are still rocking the two cars. And
I love electric vehicles. I love electric bikes. I'm holding onto the leaf, but I really need to sell it.
I'm just saying, I'm kind of putting that out there because I feel like you guys, especially once that e-bike shows up, I feel like you guys are perfect candidates to maybe drop in one of those vehicles. We've been a one-car family for, I mean, over a decade now. But like, there's times even when I consider us selling our one van because I think it's a Honda, right? And so, like, Hondas are really expensive. The minivans they make are nice. And sometimes I feel like it's a little too nice. And I look out in our driveway and I just see dollar signs, right? I see an underutilized vehicle that sits there because we don't use it all that often. We're a family of six. So from our perspective, man, I feel like it's a way that we're just being inefficient. I don't like seeing that inefficiency. But then on the other side of the argument, you know, it is really nice to have a vehicle that we can count on when it, you know, when it does come time for us to take a trip, to go see family or to go on a vacation.
I guess you could rent a car every time, but that sounds like it'd be a big pain. And I think you use it enough. It's not like you use it once a month. I mean, you use it more than that. So,
but I don't know, like lately, sometimes I feel like we're only using it once a week. And if that's often the case, I feel like it would be easy for Kate and I to, if it's one of us going out, for us just to call an Uber, hail a Lyft, you know, or like you said, when we are going out of town, just to rent a van. The more I think about it, the more I like start to talk myself into reducing expenses because sometimes I'm borderline cheap.
All right. So I'll make you this promise. If you sell your van, I will sell my Lyft.
you'll definitely sell your Lyft.
We'll do it together. It's like jumping into the cold pool at the same time.
As long as we're holding hands.
Right. So we'll give it a shot, man. We'll both wade into those one fewer car waters together.
Yeah, sometimes it helps if you have a buddy.
Exactly. All right, let's move on. Well, this is not a headline we read this week, Matt, but this was an email that a listener sent in. Listener Andrew wanted to tell us about a promotion that American Express is running on its Blue Cash Preferred card, which is one of your all-time favorite credit cards.
I love that card, dude.
Yeah, and it is great, especially for people who do spend a lot at the grocery store. You get the 6% cash back at the grocery store. Well, this offer right now is called Shop Small, and anytime you spend more than $10 at a qualifying small business, you receive a $5 credit. You can take advantage of this offer up to 10 times, which means you can get up to $50 back from local small business spending you might already be doing anyway. And most of us are trying, in particular, really hard to shop locally right now. So it's a great way to get rewarded for doing so. The offer ends September 20th, so you don't have much time left to take advantage of this, but it is something worth sharing.
And Joel, in the title of this episode, you talked about us performing our civic duty. Dude, it's time to get political. Not really. Luckily, we're not going to get too political here, but it is important to vote, to take part in the democratic process. This year's presidential election is likely going to bring out some serious crowds. And personally, man, I am not a fan of waiting in line 4 hours to do anything.
It's very inefficient.
Exactly. I hate inefficiency. I've told you that. So instead, Kate and I, we've requested mail-in ballots. And so we want to encourage folks to do that as well if they're likely to not wait in line. If, you know, there's places you got to be, if you got to get to work, or if you don't have the time to spare. Wired, they actually have a helpful state-by-state guide that can get you pointed in the right direction so you can make the most of your vote as well as your time. And we'll make sure to link to that in our show notes.
Okay. Another point on the agenda for civic duty is that you need to complete the census, and time's running out in order to do that. The deadline was actually abruptly moved up to September 30th, so you actually have less time to fill out the census if you haven't done so. I know people in our neighborhood, they're canvassing and they're knocking on doors and they're asking whether
they haven't knocked on our door though.
They've knocked on mine.
Are they? Okay.
And they're like, why haven't you filled it out? I'm like, I did, I promise. And so, yeah, we had that conversation. But if you haven't yet filled out the census, go to my2020census.gov in order to make it happen. And why is that important? Well, according to the Census Bureau, the census provides critical data that lawmakers, business owners, teachers, and many others use to provide daily services, products, and support for you and for your community. I mean, this affects billions of dollars in federal funding, which goes to the services that we use the most, like hospitals, fire departments, schools, and roads. And the census data determines where these dollars flow. And so it's important for us to make sure that we're speaking up and filling out the census so that the dollars flow to the correct places. And so, yeah, if you haven't done that yet, it's super simple. It doesn't take very much time. My2020census.gov is the place to go.
I haven't done it yet, but I will be sure to do that after we record this episode.
Yeah, please do.
How about that? All right, enough about civic duty. Let's talk about money. Let's talk about student loans, man. They are officially on hold until December 31st. That means no student loan payments nor any interest is due, and this is great news for borrowers. Last week, you know, we mentioned the payroll tax, which will just delay that tax until next year, which is, I think, pretty lame. But unlike that payroll tax holiday, these student loan non-payments that will go until the end of the year, they're not going to come due in 2021. So if you are in a tough financial position and you could use a break, maybe to beef up your emergency fund or to ensure that you pay your bills, you will certainly want to take advantage of some of that student loan relief.
yeah, if you've lost your job or you've been furloughed, this feels basically like a necessity.
Yeah.
And then if you're in a decent financial position, it gives you the ability to funnel that money elsewhere, like building up that emergency fund or investing more even right now if you're doing really well. It's also worth noting that this relief doesn't apply to all student loans, just federal student loans, just like it did in the CARES Act. So that's a check mark in favor of federal student loans over private. And Matt and I, we've talked about that before, that before you refinance into a private loan, there's a lot of questions you have to ask. We have more information on our website at howtomoney.com. On that. But as the executive order has been implemented, one of the points of clarification that the Department of Education made was concerning individuals who are participating in the PSLF, or Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. It's now clear that these months of non-payments also count towards the requirements for PSLF. They do count towards those 120 payments that you have to make in order to get that student loan relief at the end of 10 years. And that's great, man. For anybody who is in that program, basically at the end of this year, you will have received close to a full year of credit towards PSLF that you didn't have to pay a dime to get.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks who are gunning for PSLF, They were afraid, you know, a little bit to not make those payments because they didn't want that to disqualify them from the program. And so I think some individuals maybe felt that they had to continue making those payments. But yeah, I love that the Department of Education, they made it perfectly clear that, you know, these months of non-payment, that they totally count towards that forgiveness. And Jill, on the note of student loans, or actually maybe avoiding those student loans, colleges are now offering discounts for the fall semester. Due to large numbers of outbreaks and clusters of COVID spurred on by in-person learning, some colleges that reversed course and have switched to online classes are offering discounts of 10%, some up to 40% on tuition. So while some schools are giving these discounts while they're giving those out, there are other schools that are even offering free tuition altogether. They're going totally pro bono while things are kind of up in the air, while things are in flux. And that's really cool to see, man. Why not get a degree for completely free?
Yeah, man, free sounds good to me. And actually, I found it interesting in the article that spoke to the schools that are actually offering free tuition right now. One of them is the school that my parents actually went to. Both,
oh, no way.
Pacific Lutheran University, man. So, yeah.
Old PLU.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been to the campus, visited it with my folks, and it's a good spot.
Though I do wonder if they're being affected by the fires, man. It might be kind of smoky out there.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
I hope not.
But yeah, good school. And I love when schools kind of recognize the need right now. And of course, we're in unprecedented times. So yeah, those discounts are welcomed, especially as, you know, traditional learning has given way to something a whole lot more difficult for students and for teachers.
And of course, you've got personal ties to one of the schools that is offering free tuition. It's like in your blood.
Yeah. It's nice to read about that and have that personal connection. That's,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. Well, we got more to get to, including lumber prices are soaring. That sounds really boring, except for the fact that it actually has a massive impact on the personal finances of a lot of us. We'll get to that and more right after this break.
All right, we're back for the break. And Joel, you mentioned lumber prices, so that probably maybe piqued the interest of some homeowners who are thinking about adding onto their house. But we're going to talk about stuff for renters as well. We're going to get to the eviction ban. But first, let's talk about lumber.
All right, so we talked about getting rid of a car because used car prices are high. Should people start ripping off their wood siding in order to sell it because lumber prices are high?
It's like, yeah, selling that wood for scrap. It's kind of like when copper prices were sky high and like folks were going around to electrical utility poles and stripping the copper wiring off those poles. It's like the ground, like it goes from the, you know, like the wires all the way down to the ground to make sure people don't get electrocuted, I guess.
Uh-huh.
That was like a real problem for a while there. I haven't heard anything about that recently.
They were also stealing it off of people's air conditioners,
which I don't know is worse. Is it worse to like wake up and have your air conditioning not working, or for, you know, to get electrocuted? Probably get electrocuted.
Neither is ideal. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to encourage either one of those.
Right.
But yeah, lumber prices have more than doubled, man, since just the beginning of this year, showing like some similarities to the like the price of Tesla stock, which has kind of skyrocketed. But what that means is the price of a new home costs a whole lot more these days because of that as well. In fact, the cost of building a new home is on average $16,000 more right now because of how much more lumber costs. That's pretty crazy, man. And we're starting to see builders react accordingly. Some can't find the lumber that they need in order to complete projects that they've bid on. And others are waiting to start new builds, hoping that the prices will recede in the near future.
yeah, it's crazy to see what's happened with lumber prices and how it impacts so many people and homeowners who are looking to have renovations done in the near future. We're actually planning on building a screen porch off the back of our house.
Yeah.
And it looks like these inflated lumber prices are going to make that way more expensive right now. So we're trying to decide, do we wait and hope that lumber prices go down before we hire someone to do the building? When we were talking with the local builder, he actually mentioned that composite decking is cheaper in many cases right now than going with a traditional wood deck. I've never heard of that being the case before. Composite decking is usually 2 to 3 times the price of putting on a wood deck or a wood porch. And so that's just fascinating how things can change.
Something to consider. You know, maybe you guys can get yourself a composite deck that never rots. That you'll right. never have to restain.
Yeah, it's something
that sounds appealing as a homeowner.
It does. Yeah, it's something that we're thinking through. Do we wait? Do we go composite? I don't know yet. Yeah, it's just crazy to think that lumber prices can skyrocket that much that quickly, and how large of an effect it can have on home builders and, you know, just homeowners alike.
Yeah, pretty soon when it comes to like the siding and trim on our houses, maybe it'll all just be made of plastic.
Yeah,
in the future. I was actually surprised with our home renovation a couple years ago how much, I guess, vinyl or fiberglass that they used on the exterior of the home, specifically on trim. Evidently, folks tend to see a lot of rot there, I guess, because of the horizontal surface, you know, with it being a windowsill. But in particular, some of the trim around the house that was closer to the ground, they weren't using wood. They were using some sort of alternate kind of composite material that won't rot, which at first I was like, what is all this? Like, where's the traditional wood? But then they kind of explained it and it kind of made me happy to not have to worry about that rotting out in the future and having it replaced.
Yeah, less upkeep for sure.
Yeah, that's right, man. And so another story we wanted to cover is life insurance. We want to talk about life insurance because prices are really low right now, making it a really good time to get that term life policy. In fact, Money.com, they report that life insurance plan prices, they are at 20-year lows. So in my book, man, the price is right. And in addition to just the cost of it, much of the difficulty of getting life insurance has gone out the window right now. Even more, insurers are foregoing medical exams that they used to require. The life insurance plans that don't require a health exam, they often charged you higher premiums pre-COVID. But due to the pandemic and the necessity to move away from that, insurers have not been raising prices based on these changes. And so that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, it just means it's going to be easier for you to get that life insurance policy. You don't have to have the in-home visit and medical exam, which is often one of the barriers to people actually going forward and getting a life insurance policy. And if you're not sure how to choose the proper life insurance coverage for you, we'll pop an article in the show notes that explains all the factors that you should be considering in addition to where you should be shopping for that life insurance plan. Term life insurance is by far the best choice for pretty much everybody out there, and it's incredibly cheap. If you're young, mostly healthy, and
like,
don't...
Like e-bike healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And you got to make sure you don't smoke too. That's how you're going to get the best rate. So if you know you should have a life insurance policy in place, but you've put it off, now is just a great time to finally make it happen, to shop, and then to actually take that policy out to protect your loved ones.
Or if you're like me and you still haven't gotten that policy in place for your wife, now might be the perfect time to get that plan for your spouse.
Yeah, buddy. Make it happen. Seriously.
Yeah, I'm actually a little embarrassed that we don't have that in place yet.
Well, now's the perfect time, right?
It is. And now's the time, man. And we also, man, we wanted to make sure that folks knew that the eviction ban has been extended through December. The CDC made an unprecedented move last week by banning most evictions due to not paying rent. Many states, you know, they have their own eviction moratoriums in place. And so this ban is in addition to those protections for folks who are renting in those specific states. There are qualifications, though, and they're listed out on the declaration form that was issued by the CDC. We'll make sure to link to that in our show notes. But if you do qualify and you meet those requirements and you're looking for a financial break, then you'll need to sign that form. And then all you need to do is actually just give it to your landlord.
Yeah. And I love that this is happening for people who are hurting and can't pay rent. This keeps them in their homes, at least through the end of the year. And who knows, you know, what the next step is after this. Part of it depends on how bad the pandemic is as we approach the end of the year and what steps our elected officials and different government agencies actually decide to take. At the same time, though, this doesn't mean that people shouldn't be paying their rent. If you can still afford to pay for your housing, you should be doing so right now. This is a measure that calls for a moratorium on evictions, not an outright forgiveness of rent. So while most landlords won't be evicting non-paying tenants to the end of the year, that owed rent will still be due come January 1st, and evictions will then be able to resume. So if you're putting it off in hopes that you'll never have to pay it, that's just not going to be the case. And so if you can continue to pay, you should.
Yeah, so do continue trying to make your rent, but if you're in a situation where you can no longer make those payments, we would recommend for folks to check out justshelter.org, where you can search for local resources to help you out. A lot of those resources will be legal and fair housing related, so that's actually definitely a place where you want to go if you've given that signed declaration form to your landlord and they're ignoring it, you know, if they're attempting to start the eviction process anyway. And in addition to that, some states have set aside millions in rent assistance as well. So there could be money out there for you if you're in a tough spot. So make sure to check out that website, justshelter.org, and see what resources are available for you in your state.
All right, man, that's going to do it for the headlines that we found important this week. But we got some pod business to take care of.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
And that's because last week we started a Raid Our Bookshelf contest. And we had a ton of reviews and entries from How to Money listeners who wanted to raid our bookshelf and win a set of three books. We had four packages we were giving away of three books from former guests that have been on the show. And so many of you left incredibly kind reviews. We really appreciate it. Thank you for entering. And so, Matt, let's read just a couple of reviews just so people can get a taste of what people are saying about the show. Someone said, since listening to these two besties, we have a clear plan for our money every month, paid off all our debt, and have started investing and saving for our retirement. We now love to have money discussions.
Which is ridiculous that like they love to actually start talking about money now when you know that wasn't the case before. It's so awesome.
It's awesome, right? And that we would not have otherwise had. As a couple, without feeling some stress, and it's all thanks to listening to How to Money. And I got to say, like, those are the kind of reviews that make me happy. If it's like, if it's de-stressed money in your life, if it's given you a path forward, then there's nothing more rewarding than hearing that.
We feed off of that energy, off of that positive momentum, you know, those positive steps that folks are taking. There was one other review too, where somebody mentioned, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he, you know, they said, if you're sick of listening to Dave Ramsey, blah, 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 for hours on end, which totally cracked me up. But I will say, like, we don't hate on Dave Ramsey. He was actually my introduction to personal finance and kind of how I got started going down the path of, you know, handling my money well. Like that was when I created my first budget. And that actually kind of got me a little nostalgic, like kind of thinking back what life was like back then. And I went back to my first budget back in 2007 and I looked at my budgeted expenses. Dude, $1,100 a month is what I required in order to survive. And it's not like that was some like crazy far off goal. Like, those were my budgeted expenses, but I was only like 100 over, you know? And so it wasn't like some sort of pie in the sky thing. Like, that's just what life was like back then, which is kind of mind blowing. But yeah, all that to say, we love what Dave is saying in regards to, you know, people getting out of debt, but there is also a little more nuance when it comes to personal finance and, you know, the conversations that we have around money. We try to include some of those fine details.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Matt, let's name the four winners who won books this week in the Radar Bookshelf contest.
A little drum roll for you.
And yeah, we'll send those out to you in the next week or so. But yeah, thanks to our list randomizer, our winners are John T, Tracy Bucci, B. Hogan, and Run Jilly Bean. We'll be contacting you. We'll shoot an email your way, get your address, and send those books on out. Thanks again to everyone for entering and leaving a kind review. Matt and I, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting, too, that you didn't have to leave a new review. Anybody who had previously left a review and just emailed us to let us know that they wanted to be entered into that contest, they were entered in. And so on that note, if you want to go ahead and leave us a review now for the next contest that we're going to run at some undisclosed point in time.
But it'll happen again soon.
It will happen, totally. Yeah, you can go ahead and do that now, and you can do that at Apple Podcasts. Leave a solid review over there, and you can help others to find our podcast and get in on some of that money-saving action.
Oh, yeah. All right, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.